Let's continue reading 1 Kings 18:7 through 15. Now in these verses, we have the meeting between Elijah and King Ahab's chief servant, Obadiah. 1 Kings 18, verse 7. Now as Obadiah was on his way, suddenly Elijah met him, and he recognized him, and fell on his face and said, "Is that you, my lord Elijah?" And he answered him, "It is I. Go tell your master, Elijah is here." Then he said, "How have I sinned that you are delivering your servant into the hand of Ahab to kill me? As the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to hunt for you. And when they said he is not here, he took an oath from the kingdom or nation that they could not find you. And now you say, 'Go tell your master, Elijah is here.' And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from you, that the Spirit of the Lord will carry you to a place I do not know. So when I go and tell Ahab, and he cannot find you, he will kill me. But I, your servant, have feared the Lord from my youth. Was it not reported to my Lord what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord? How I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets, 50 to a cave, and fed them with bread and water? And now you say, 'Go tell your master Elijah is here, and he will kill me.'" Then Elijah said, "As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will surely present myself to him today." Once again, some background notes. In verse 7, we see that Elijah suddenly met Obadiah on the road. It does not appear to have been a pleasant meeting. Obadiah, remember, not the prophet Obadiah, but Obadiah, this chief servant of Ahab, he's out looking for grass for Ahab's horses because of the severe famine, the drought. And Elijah is coming now down from Phoenicia, from Zarephath, and they meet on the road. As a secret believer, Obadiah recognized Elijah and said there in verse 7, "Is that you, my lord Elijah?" Now, it's hard to miss the point that Elijah makes in his answer here. He says there in verse 8, "It is I. Go tell your master Elijah is here." In other words, "Obadiah, maybe it would be better if you didn't refer to me as your lord. Your lord or master is Ahab." Well, at this point, because of fear for his life, Obadiah began to make excuses and give reasons as to why he should not have to go and announce Elijah's arrival. We learn in verse 10 that Ahab had searched far and wide for Elijah, but couldn't find him. Verse 10, once again, "As the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to hunt for you." An international search. Ahab and Jezebel looking for Elijah, but they couldn't find him because God was protecting Elijah. God can protect us as well from all kinds of threats. You trust God in that way? Elijah had been staying with a poor widow up there in Zarephath, there in Phoenicia. This was Jezebel's home territory. Who would have thought that Elijah would remain undetected here? You know, I think we see a little glimpse here of God's sense of humor. Think of it, Ahab and Jezebel searching all over the place for Elijah. Meanwhile, Elijah's not even hiding. He's just going about his normal business up there in Phoenicia, living there at the home of this poor widow. It's right there in Jezebel's home territory. And yet God is protecting Elijah. In verse 13, we learn that once again, as we did back in verse 4, that Jezebel had actually killed a number of the prophets of the Lord there in the northern kingdom of Israel. Most likely, she was trying to appease the pagan gods that she worshipped. Remember that Baal was thought to be the god who controlled the fertility of the land, including the regulation of the rains. Well, so much for background notes from these verses. Now let's move to our doctrinal point from this second section of 1 Kings 18. Here it is. Partial commitment has telltale symptoms. Partial commitment has telltale symptoms. We said that Obadiah was a secret believer. While he greatly feared the Lord, and while he had hidden 100 prophets of the Lord and fed them with bread and water, yet he was not a fully committed believer. To remain in the royal court of an apostate like Ahab, who was promoting idolatry throughout the land, was certainly not a sign of full commitment. Obadiah was not a captive. He did not have to continue to work for wicked King Ahab and the evil Queen Jezebel. Obadiah certainly could have left the employment of wicked King Ahab. God did not need a compromising Obadiah to protect his prophets. God could have done it in a number of different ways. And some have even said maybe those prophets shouldn't have been hiding in the caves anyway. In any case, I believe we see some symptoms of Obadiah's partial commitment in this chapter. Partial commitment has telltale symptoms. First of all, we see that Obadiah has a guilty conscience. After Elijah's greeting, we read there in verse 9, then Obadiah said, "How have I sinned?" Obadiah does not have a clear conscience. A guilty conscience is a telltale symptom of partial commitment. Another telltale symptom of partial commitment is a loss of courage. A loss of courage. Three times in these verses that we've read, Obadiah said, "I'll get killed." That does not sound like Philippians 1:21, does it? "For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain." What's the difference? Well, Paul was fully committed. Obadiah was partially committed. A third telltale symptom of partial commitment is a rest on your laurels mentality. A rest on your laurels mentality. Look there at the end of verse 12 and verse 13. "But I, your servant, have feared the Lord from my youth. Was it not reported to my Lord what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord? How I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets, 50 to a cave, and fed them with bread and water." Obadiah is reporting his record to Elijah. Obadiah apparently thinks that if Elijah hears his record, his works, his good works, that somehow Elijah will say, "Okay, Obadiah, you've done enough. You don't have to risk your life anymore. You're off the hook. You don't have to go and announce my arrival." A fourth telltale symptom of partial commitment is a lack of trust. Obadiah at first does not trust the prophet Elijah. Elijah had told Obadiah to announce his arrival, but look what Obadiah says there again in verse 12. "And it shall come to pass as soon as I am gone from you that the Spirit of the Lord will carry you to a place I do not know, so that when I go and tell Ahab and he cannot find you, he will kill me." In other words, Elijah, you're not really going to be true to your word. Think of it. Obadiah does not trust the word of the prophet Elijah at this point. A lack of trust. Here we have four symptoms of partial commitment. Well, what about us? Are we fully committed, or have we slipped back into the partially committed category? All of us should ask ourselves these four questions. Do I have a guilty conscience about my commitment? That's a telltale symptom of partial commitment. Second question, do I show a loss of courage? Now I run scared. I don't want to witness anymore. A telltale symptom of partial commitment. Question number three, do I exhibit a rest on your laurels mentality? Am I always trying to justify my commitment by telling people what I've done? And the fourth question is, do I display a lack of trust in my fellow believers? You know, there are some believers, maybe you can't trust them all the time. But a characteristic of partial commitment is that you just don't want to trust anyone. Even fellow believers that have proved themselves, you don't want to trust them. There's a lack of trust. We may think that we're fully committed, but the answers to these four questions may be quite convicting. Remember, partial commitment has telltale symptoms. Now, what about practical application from these verses? Or, shall we say, more practical application? God will test our commitment to Christ. God will test our commitment to Christ. Why did Elijah meet Obadiah there on the road and ask him to announce his arrival to King Ahab? You think this was just coincidence? Obadiah's out there looking for grass for the horses, and here comes Elijah down from Zarephath, and they just happened to meet. I don't think this was coincidence. Certainly not. This was a test of Obadiah's commitment. Elijah certainly could have gone directly to King Ahab, as he did the first time. He didn't have to have Obadiah go announce his arrival. But it was a test of Obadiah's commitment. Would Obadiah let it be known at this point that he was a believer? Or would he remain a secret believer? Would Obadiah risk his life to announce the arrival of Elijah? His commitment was being tested. God will test our commitment to Christ. You know, I remember my first night in an army barracks with a group of men that had no love for God, no love for the Lord. And there it was, a test of my commitment. Would I be a secret believer, or would I let it be known that I was a Christian? Would I be willing to read my Bible openly? Would I let it be known that I prayed? I mean, not flaunting your Christianity, but just going about your normal, another day at the office routine of being willing to openly read your Bible and pray. Well, I thank the Lord for his help at that time. And I wish I could say I've passed all my tests of commitment as well as I did that time. God will test our commitment to Christ. You can be sure of it. Has your commitment to the Lord been tested lately? On your job, maybe, or in your community? You know, I was just talking to a university student a few weeks ago. He's a Christian, and he attended a secular school, secular campus, non-believers all around. And he was telling me that 2 years ago, he took a certain course with a non-Christian professor, but he never let it be known in the classroom to the students or to the professor that he was a Christian. He said he wanted to, but he felt too intimidated by the professor. He failed that test of commitment. Well, just recently, and this is why he brought it up, he bought a Christian book, and he went back and told the professor that he was a Christian, and he would like to give this book to the professor, and would the professor read it? And he was asking me at this point to pray about the results. Well, let me tell you, that should be an encouragement to all of us. Because sometimes we do fail our tests of commitment. But God doesn't give up on us. I would like to believe that Obadiah passed this test of commitment. Because verse 16 says, "So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah." Remember that God will test our commitment to Christ. In the first chapter of James and the first chapter of 1 Peter, we read there that our faith in Christ definitely will be tested. God will test our commitment to Christ.